With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. Joined as always by fellow co-host, Joshua Hart. Joshua, you're looking very... I'm telling you, man, the beard looks very luscious. Your living room looks very moody, brooding. How you doing?
You know, I think my living room matches the last couple weeks as Raptors fans. It's been dark with rare moments of delight. But, you know, it is what it is. You do what you can. You take the good, you take the bad, and then you have the facts of life. How are you doing? How's life been treating you?
Life's been fine. I mean, the Raptors play every night, so I'm working every night, which is, you know, never going to complain about covering this team. Yeah, not a lot of fun stuff, really. I mean, look, you know, we did have a nice win against the Cavs. We did have Gary Trent Jr. going off for 44 points, and then we had Pascal return in the Knicks game, and yeah, I'm expecting a lot of people to pile on Pascal. I mean, to be honest, you know, I totally get it. Like, I totally get it, and it's fine. I think last night on the podcast, I called him "Roll Off the Rim to Lose." It's a new Tim Hortons commercial with Pascal on it. He just rolls it up, and instead of winner Gangnam, it's whatever French is for losing. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. What do you make of this Pascal thing? By the way, people, you can call in to the show. You can see the number below. Our number is 866-219-2758. You can call into the show, and our producers will try to pass you through. But Josh, before we get started, I'm sure we're going to hit this hot topic. What is wrong with Pascal in crunch time? Please let me know.
I think if he chokeslammed Nick Nurse at halftime, we would not have had the same case. It's just, you know, a brain fart. It's been unfortunate that he's had so many, like, just, you know, less than redeeming moments this season. But, Pascal's still the guy who hit the series ceiling shot over Draymond Green. He's at moments looked every bit that guy this season. But if there's a guy who is going to refer to this season as fake more than anyone else in the Raptors organization, I think it's going to be Pascal, that he will be looking back at the 2020-2021 season as just a fake season that practically didn't exist. But I don't know. Like, do you have an explanation just except for bad luck? The his shot has gone, has tanked. That's the only very clear thing that's happened with Pascal this season. But everything else looks like it's there. I don't know. Do you think that Pascal Siakam is beyond the point of, like, good-looking footage from Rico Hines this summer won't turn it around?
Yeah, I thought he passed that point last year. You know, when he put out that Red Bull series, which I don't even think has been fully released. This will come out in three parts. I think we only saw part one and two. But, yeah, I mean, I think people just expect to see, like, actual consistent production from him. And I think on the whole, it's been pretty good. Like, I think you really can't argue with 20 points, like 8 rebounds, like 5 assists. Like, you know, those are fine. But as you mentioned, the shooting has really dropped off for him to the point where teams are going under on screens. He's not really hitting them. He's reduced his own attempts because he's not confident in the jumper. And that sucks because it seemed like he was putting a lot of work in his jump shot and it was like steady progression and how he was improving. Yeah. And then, yeah, this past season, it's just been completely out the window for him. And then the crunch time stuff, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I know people are like, oh, he shouldn't be the number one option. Like, you shouldn't, like, you know, trust him to go. You should go somewhere else with the ball. Like, it's not working. Like, if you watched the game yesterday, it was a fast break. Kyle Lowry kicked it to the man to push the ball up to the guy in the middle of the floor for the fast break. If you can't trust the man to run a fast break, that's not like, oh, yeah, we're going to just go to Pascal as the game-winning option. Like, that's just a basketball play. That's the right basketball play. And Pascal is someone who runs, like, 10 fast breaks a game. And he just screwed that one up. And I'm not even making an excuse. What I'm saying is, like, that wasn't a case of Raptors are force-feeding Pascal with the game on the line or anything like that. That's just a basketball play. And he made a very elementary mistake. But I don't know how much you can get on the guy specifically. I don't know how much you get on the actual, like, process of the team. I think probably in previous games, you know, they could have run different plays. You know, in terms of, like, there was a lot of ISO for Pascal to attack. With the game on the line, like, I don't really feel like that's really going to work all that well. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I'm not even trying to make excuses for him. I just think that, like, the game yesterday, it was the right basketball play. They just made a mistake. And if he scored, yeah, then we probably will be like, wow, Pascal really recovered after his really terrible first half. And he had that, you know, turnaround. He drove to the rim and there was that goaltending call to put them within two. And then if he either kicked it out for three or took it in for the layup, and tie the game or you know, put the Raptors on top with the assist, then we'd be singing his praises. But he made a very crucial mistake, man. As Kyle said, it happens. And I think at this point, I'm just kind of laughing at it. But, you know, what can you really do, man?
Well, we have our first caller of the show, hopefully to defend Pascal Siakam's honor. We have Cashin on the line. Cashin, welcome to the show. You're on with me and Will. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, you know, can you hear me?
It's been gray in Toronto for 2 days, but we press on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just wanted to bring some positivity because, you know what, I feel really great about this Pascal season. And I don't say that sarcastically. You'd think after last night with my Raptors Twitter reacted that it would be, but no. I just wanted to quickly refresh everyone. Pascal, in what many describe as a down season, he's averaging 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 4.5 assists per game. How many? I had to look this up. How many Raptors in franchise history have those numbers? Do you guys know?
I can look it
at
up,
least
but
20
I mean,
20 points, 7 rebounds, 4.5.
It's probably Kawhi. It's zero. Even Kawhi didn't do it. All right.
I'll double check. But my point is, in a down season.
Yeah.
Where he's not really thriving. Yeah, Kawhi, let's see.
I don't think Kawhi got
Kawhi
the assist.
Was an assist short.
Yeah,
Kawhi can get the assist.
Kawhi never passed the ball.
He came the closest. Kawhi. So what I wanted to say is we have a guy who's in year 5, his age 26 season, who is doing things that no other player in franchise history have ever done. And I think his greatest curse for this fan base was he achieved success so young and so unexpectedly. I think if he had the Kyle Lowry narrative of coming here unheralded, we look at what Kyle Lowry's age 26 season was. It was his first season here. He averaged 11 points a game coming off the bench for Jose Calderon. If, because we're just telling the story in reverse where he has this great success and having some, you know, understandably rocky moments this year, it's a little, you know, disappointing that the fans have, for me, I'll put it this way, I was a little bit more fickle when it came to Kyle and DeMar over the years. You know, one bad game, so was this the right core? And after the championship, this makes sense. Why are we throwing the baby out with the bathwater every time there's a mistake and having a referendum? So I just think, you know, I wanted to also mention where Pascal's going to stand if he finishes his contract with the Raptors, which I certainly hope he does. If he just averages those numbers, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4.5 assists for the rest of this contract, he'll be top 5 in points, rebounds, and assists in franchise history. It'll be him and Kyle alone top 5 in those three categories. I just don't think people appreciate that he's on track to be in contention for the greatest Raptor of all time. And I think when it's all said and done, he will get there. I'm a Pascal believer, a Pascal optimist. You know, maybe it's a too much hoops Brad and me alone on this island right now. And a few others, but just wanted to get your thoughts on where, you know, maybe just some Pascal positivity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't even have to look that far. Here's the thing with, I mean, okay, so there's a couple of things, but we don't have to look that far into the future. I mean, the last 4 games for Pascal, he's averaged 28 points per game, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, shooting 52% from the field. Like, you don't even have to have that long of a memory. Like, it literally just happened. But I think what it is I think part of the nature of fandom is that people like root for these causes and like pick certain players and sort of like almost like use their success as part of like their identity. Like that's part of like a lot of fandom, especially when you're publicly a fan on Twitter and things like that. And so when you like publicly champion a guy like Pascal, when he falls comes up short, there's like this like dissonance of like you feel extra disappointed because you've really championed this guy and he's let you down in this spot and other spots. And I think for a lot of people, they're just sort of like, they're tired of sort of having that egg on their face, which is a bit of a shorthand, like short-sighted view of things, because you basically need to be on top at all times. And no athletes like that. Like you can, like Lionel Messi and like LeBron is not like that. You know what I mean? Like, of course, I'm not trying to compare like those three guys, but no, I think objectively, Pascal has obviously been a really, really good player, and I don't think anyone has any complaints. I don't know if like as a number one option, his current skill set is like always there to like give him the ball and let him create all the time. But he's growing, and realistically, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone else on this team has the potential to do what Pascal does, especially at this moment. And you know, you're kind of just riding with it. I mean, it's a bit of a lost season anyway. And Pascal's been up and down. The one thing is, I just wish his baseline was a little bit higher, because you saw games like yesterday, it hasn't been that uncommon where he shoots like 5 of 18 with 5 turnovers and 6 fouls. Like, that's unacceptable as an you know, as any starting player, really. But
the turnovers are pretty rare, though. Like,
that's
if
true.
If you look at his turnover percentage, and I just recall, I remember the start of last season. You know, he had that game against the Pelicans to start the season. I think he had like 5 or 6 turnovers or something. And the big hammer on him was, oh, he can't turn the ball over as the lead guy. I think 4 or 5 games in the season, he had a turnover problem. After that, it went away. He's had a career low for turnovers. And for turnover percentage, it's the lowest of his entire career. And that's at a guy who's one of the lead facilitators night out. And I just think my message, and I'll leave you guys be, because I've been rattling on about Pascal on Twitter and here for a little while now, is let's just look at what Kyle and the journey and appreciate that, because I think what made that championship so sweet was the fact it was with one of our guys who went through the ups and downs with us, right? A guy who, you know, had 0 points in the very first game of that playoffs, and it would have been so easy to just throw in the towel on him. It was with Fred, who people were calling the bench for Jeremy Lin, you know, right before he went on that hot streak. So I just think there's so much more reward in sticking it out with the guys who have brought us so much joy, and just thinking strictly as a fan. And I'm so appreciative that the, you know, reply guys and the Raptors mentions aren't running this team, because they would trade the whole roster every other week. But I just wanted to thank you guys for, you know, bringing a light of positivity about Pascal, because I think, you know, he's one of the most easy to root for players we've ever had in this franchise's history. So really feel a need to try to balance out the narrative a little bit, because I just read the timeline and it feels like I see people wanting to trade him for a bag of chips when really he's one of the rarest talents you'll find in the league. But anywho, Absolutely. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for calling in, Cashman. Yeah,
Appreciate it.
Will, the thing I was thinking about while Cashman was on the line, do you think that Pascal Siakam will ever have the kind of reputation and goodwill of the Raptors fan base that guys like Kyle, DeMar, even JV, like I guess Pascal's past JV, but can he pass DeMar? Like, I think the thing that you get with DeMar and Kyle is that they ushered in the first sustained era of Raptors winning ever. Pascal, at the very best he can do is extend it longer, and maybe bring them to different heights as an organization. But that seems unlikely. Like, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan turned this franchise around. Like, they've now made the Raptors, maybe not in a sustained way, but for a time, you know, a team that you could reliably see on TNT and like playing national broadcast games against real playoff teams. It seemed like the Raptors organization had taken this big step forward in the past year. And I think associated often to Pascal Siakam's struggles has taken a step back, that they've fallen off of the like national broadcast schedule. We've seen, you know, the fan base become less enthralled. How does Pascal Siakam sustain the sort of celebrity and like fandom around the team in a way that Kyle and DeMar's bromance did for so many years?
I mean, just to keep it short, like, I think as Raptor fans, we kind of, like, lionize people after they leave. Kyle's the only guy you see celebrated in totality, and maybe that's because he's sort of been through the fire and come through it all. But no, we celebrate people way more when they leave, after they leave, than when they're here. Though. Like, not Chris Bosh, he's very forgettable, but... like JV, it's happening literally in real time with Norman Powell. It's happened with DeMar DeRozan. Because listen, man, all these conversations happening about Pascal, we had these exact same conversations about DeMar. And now, you know, now Drake says, you know, "Am I City love me like I'm DeMar DeRozan?" Please, trust me, there were plenty of not DeMar DeRozan love. And I'm not even afraid to admit that I was in those conversations. So let's go to our next
2017,
call.
It was terrible.
Oh man, that was terrible, bro. When he was offering $100, that was tough. Anyway, we're gonna bring in Fraser from Toronto. He wants to talk about the center position. More positivity, man. Come on, Fraser. What do you think of our new centers?
Big fan. I'm just happy to watch someone who can catch a basketball. You know.
Yes. And yes, also, we deserve this.
Well, shout out to Liverpool, man. First win at Anfield since before the fan base turned on Aaron Bane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when you put it like that, that's nasty.
Big moment. And also wanted to shout out to DeMar DeRozan. Big game winner yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see his number 10 race to the Raptors. And the other two players in franchise history have worn number 10, Milt Palacio and Uroš Šilhavc, who is a name that's come up as I've tried to keep myself sane this winter, just going through the graveyard of Raptors centers.
Mm.
You know, like Primož Brezić, Greg Stiensma, Aaron Gray, those guys bring something to the team. Can Patrick O'Brien show everyone why he was drafted 9th overall? You know, the notorious DOB in 24 spots of Kyle Lowry. I'm just wondering, who is, like, the worst center that you guys have just, like, been convinced, yes, this person upgrades the team this year?
The worst center. It's probably not Patrick O'Brien. That, I mean, honestly, that guy had the most Irish name for someone who wasn't Irish, man. Anyway, man, the worst Raptor center. It might have to be like Tyler Hansbrough. Like, I really thought Tyler Hansbrough, if you brought him from 2014 and replaced Aaron Baines, like, I know Tyler can get on the glass and he'll also shoot 50% on layups. Like, but that, it probably would be Tyler for me. But there's lots to pick from. Like Josh, are you ready? Like,
Humphreys would have been, like, Chris Humphreys 2006, 7, 8 era. He was like a 10-10. That would have been tough. I would have been, yeah.
Honestly, Chris Humphreys probably would have been an improvement over some of the centers we had this season. But we have Kem Birch.
Shout out Kem. Russell Ontario, stand up.
Yeah, by the way, Kem Birch, did you hear his interview with the media? Like,
Where he's talking about his dad driving back from Ottawa after, like, middle of the night to go to games with his kids.
That's unbelievable, bro. That's how you know he's a real fan. Like, he's like a real, real fan because, you know, him and his dad were driving like 7 hours to go see some really terrible basketball. Because if there were kids, like, he would have been driving to see Chris Humphreys, exactly. Or Mil Palacio, quite honestly.
Michael Stewart?
I'm telling you, they definitely sat in the Sprite Zone for $10. So shout out Kim Birch.
Yeah, those were the days.
Fraser, what are your thoughts on Kem Birch or even Freddie Gillespie, man? I feel like these guys are not bad.
Call dropped.
Oh, the call. No, never mind. Fraser's gone. Well, Josh, I'll ask you the same question. What are your thoughts early on after one game of Kem and, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of clear that Kem Birch isn't, like, extraordinarily skilled, but I like his energy. I like his first shift I thought was a little shaky. He looked fine by the second one. I think he'll figure out the defense. I'm curious to know how effective those guys can be as communicators on the backside of the defense, because that's a place Raptors club has missed. But it's just nice to have a different look. Like, I don't know. There's just, you have more patience for a guy who's not clearly at the end of their NBA career, kind of sewering your season, than a guy who's in the middle of their career maybe sewering your season.
Yeah, well, listen, change was welcome. And, you know, I honestly do think that both centers are probably superior options. And that's just kind of where Aaron is, I think, at this point this season with this team. He seems mad frustrated, too. Every time he comes, checks into the game, he looks pissed off. He just knows, man. He's like, in the back of my mind, he's like, oh, man, Twitter's flaming me right now. But,
well, I do wonder, like, does he have, like, a move after this one? Like, is Aaron Baines playing next year?
Perth, Australia, you know.
Wallora? Yeah, him and, I'm sure, what's his face? Used to play for the Warriors, now plays in Sydney. Andrew Bogut? Is he done? He's got to be. He's
moving on to his next career as a right wing talk host. Anyway, okay. We're gonna take a quick break right here, and we're gonna come back. All right, Josh, we're back, and we're gonna take more calls. So you can dial in on the number you see above. In the meantime, Josh, have you ever scrolled through the live chat? Because the live chat is popping right now. People are mad about this Pascal topic.
Too positive about Pascal or too negative about Pascal?
Oh, it's negativity. Which, really? I mean, like, okay, so here's the thing. So it seems like closing games is the main thing, right? So, like, is there a different option to close games? Like, maybe, okay, so ISO Pascal in the post isn't the way to close a game. So what would you, like, game on the line, Raptors are down 2, fate of the universe, you know, Martians got the death beam pointed at Earth. You got one shot, you got to hit it. Which player are you making take that shot?
Don't you miss a Kyle Lowry above the break 3 to win the game, for game winners? I miss that shot. I feel like it hasn't happened in months and months and months. But I don't know. Gary Trent Jr. seems like a potent offensive weapon. I do think that, and we talked about it a lot last year, like the Raptors don't have a go-to guy in the clutch that same way that other organizations build their team around, and we should try to see a complement of players do that. Like, we should have OG taking game-winning shots. We should see Pascal taking game-winning shots. We should see Gary Trent. We should see Kyle Lowry doing his weird above the break 3 to win the game. Don't you miss that shot? It was like a Dwayne Casey special.
Yeah, well, it was either him taking the jumper or DeMar taking the jumper, and maybe JV go get the offensive rebound. But, you know, listen, we're always more nostalgic about the time after it's over. So let's go to our next caller. We got Vin Baker from Alberta.
Great name.
What's going on?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Yo, Vin from Alberta's back. Vin Baker in the house, man. I've been trying to reach you guys, but I hope you guys are doing good, man.
What's good?
You know, usually I would come in and make fun of Will Lou's head size, but things are kind of dire, so I'm going to stay away from that. guys, I want to talk about kind of the raps going forward. I know there's this whole tank. Everybody's talking about the tank stuff and should we make the play-in and all of that. We could argue about that all day, but to be honest, guys, the team is what it is. They're just not very good. So we could be upset about, you know, the Raptors are tanking and they're not going to make the playoffs and blah, 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 whatever. But at the end of the day, man, I just think, you know, the team's going to land where it's going to land. I do agree that it's a lot better for the team to get a high draft pick. I just think that the idea that we could, you know, make the play-in or whatever, you know, get smacked by the Nets, and then we just come back next year, and then all we got to do is get a good center and the team is good again. I think the team's problems are a little deeper than that when you look at just kind of the overall depth on the roster. Typically in years past, from since 2014, the Raps have had injuries like every season, but they would never suck in the regular season because we had excellent depth. Like I would say from 7 to like the 13th spot on the roster, we're pretty talented dudes, either developing or that could step in and fill in and play right away. Whereas right now, we literally don't have NBA players at those spots. It's going to take time to develop that because if the model is to just have a kind of an average team going forward or, you know, slightly above average, and then we wait for a star to demand a trade and then do the Kawhi thing over again, this time it's going to be different because we're basically going to trade the quote unquote core to get the star guy, and then we have nothing to surround him with. It's totally different from the Kawhi situation. So I like, I'm kind of on the Tank side. I do like that we traded for Ben Uzo. I mean, Gary Trent, like, he's been playing really well. Yeah, I have to do that.
Come on, bro. This is the one guy bringing good things to the team right now. How dare you? Ben Uzo.
Yo, man, he's been, I can't lie. I was like, I was super hyped. I was kind of happy when he hit the game winner against the Wizards. And then I looked at the standings and I was like, damn, that's some Ben Uzo. That's a Ben Uzo shot.
All right, you're right. All right, okay. On that front, I hear you. On all the other fronts, that's disrespect. Come on, man. Come on.
No. He's been great. He's actually been our best offensive player since he's been here. And I'm actually think he could be a really good piece on the team moving forward. Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited about him and OG.
Yeah.
But on the wings. I think the roster construction beyond that, because I actually think Lowry's walking. So
I do too.
A little concerned about I know we were happy. Everybody, it's kind of emotional. He's the franchise icon and all of that, but he's going to walk in the summer. The guy's too competitive. I think he knows kind of the potential of the team better than anybody. He's too smart. I really think he's going to walk unless, we just give him a great kind of Kobe-style end-of-career contract, which is kind of difficult because he's at the age where any season now he can just drop and he's going to be washed. He's at that age now. It's just kind of fact. So, I love Kyle, but I think he's going to walk and then, I think that'll kind of be a reality check for the team going forward. But what do you guys think? I just kind of said a bunch of nonsense, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'll go first. While the team on the court hasn't been really fun to watch, I am really excited for what this offseason presents to the Raptors organization. They have the opportunity to retain the best executive in the NBA, if not, Major League Sports overall. They have cap space for a total transformation and will perhaps have a top 10 lottery pick. And the opportunity to return to their home fan base after a year spent in Tampa Bay. I think next September, October, November can be a really exciting time. And that to me is a priority of the organization. How do we transform this team with the moves that need to be made to deliver that ahead of them? And I don't know, I was talking to Will and to other people who cover the team, are you guys excited for the opportunity of what happens this next season? Because you have definitely 4-5 pieces that you keep around. Malachi's great, Gary Trent, Pascal, OG, Fred. You have five guys who make a pretty decent team. You have a bunch of money. You have the opportunity to retain this great executive, and you have a fan base and a community that's really excited to be back in the arena. How do you execute there?
Yeah.
And those are all exciting questions to ask. More exciting questions to me than how do we get Yuta Watanabe and Stanley Johnson to not stink it up on the court.
why are you putting Yuta in that group? Why?
Yeah, man.
Come on, man. Yuta had a career high 14 points, man.
Yeah.
Career high 14. Okay?
Yeah, I actually think he's going to be on the squad next year. But
me too.
I guess, Will and Vin, are you guys excited for what happens this offseason more than anything that happens between now and May 16th or whenever the season ends?
I'm excited for change.
You go first, yeah.
I'm excited for change. That's the thing. In the media perspective, I think it's more interesting to cover change. And I think it will be a pretty active summer in terms of what moves get made. I'm not totally sure if you bring in a center and this whole thing is magically fixed. I don't think they're a championship team once you bring in a center, but I do think if you bring in a real starting caliber center who either protects the rim, rebounds, shoots a three, I don't really know, but at least two out of the three there, this team is going back to the playoffs, and I think that's good. I'm excited about the draft pick. I don't know. In terms of making that next leap, I think Vin's right. I think, the Raptors are probably going to try to make another Kawhi-level trade, or this draft pick really got to be really good. So, because I do think that they're missing that number one option. Like, I think that that is kind of undeniable here. You know, I don't think, like, you can really build a number one option around a post player in the modern NBA, and that's where Pascal's sort of been. So, that's where I'm at.
Yo, I'm a little, I just wanted to touch on Pascal, guys. I'm a little concerned. Actually, I'm very concerned about Pascal. I think there's a pretty big enough sample size right now where, like, we know he's not a number one guy. Like, that's pretty established. I don't think that's a debate anymore. But I am concerned that he's lost some, like, a pretty big level of confidence going forward.
Yeah.
Something happened after the bubble, like, during kind of when the season stopped and then the bubble, where, like, his moves are nowhere near as fluid and crisp as they were pre-bubble. Even, like, you go to the championship season and then the few months before the season got cut off, his confidence is just not there. And I know, like, he'll have a streak of games even this season where he's playing well and he's putting up the numbers. But if you actually watch the games consistently in the second half of games, he's terrible. It's probably like last week, it's probably updated, but he's shooting like 32% in the second half of games, and he's barely doing anything in the fourth quarter. So it's like, and I thought maybe he's at conditioning or whatever because of the COVID stuff, but he's been doing that all season where you have these decent first half. So like the stat lines look okay, but like when you really watch, when it really counts and the Raptors need him to get some buckets, he's just not there. So I feel like he's lost some sort of confidence going forward. And then, so I'm concerned that what that's going to look like going forward. Like, we know he can be the third best player in a championship team. I think Kyle was number two. He could, depending on the scorer, he could be like your second highest usage scorer on a championship team, depending who the number one is. But I think going forward, the biggest, like, the reason why I'm not high on the team, if they just get a center and bring back the core, and let's say it's not like one of the top four guys in the draft, it's like just a decent piece that's coming in. The reason I'm not big on the core going forward is the lack of playmaking once Kyle leaves. If Kyle leaves, I think Fred is like an elite point guard, starting point guard, if he has like a playmaking wing on the roster. Like, I could see Fred being incredible somewhere like the Clippers or the Mavericks.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
If he's a lead creator, it's a massive problem. I think it hurts his efficiency too. He's shooting like under 40% now for the season.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I could be way off on that. But that's a major problem going forward. So I'm not big on the core. I just like some individual pieces like OG, Trent. I like Fred in the right role. But Pascal is the one I'm really concerned about, and that's why I'm kind of hesitant. Where my point is, we really need, obviously, man, dude, whatever. I feel like lottery night's going to be game seven, man. Because I'm looking at the schedule.
Yo, legit, though. That lottery ball bouncing is going to be like Kawhi Shaw bouncing on the rim, man.
It's going to be anticlimactic, fam, yo. You know what I mean? But
I know. My
concern going for Pascal. What do you guys think about Pascal? Like, I know you guys have been talking about it probably. I just got in. I haven't listened. I'm going to listen back. But just about the confidence aspect since whatever happened when the season shut off last year.
I mean, I think you're right. You're right on the money. Like, the confidence is low. Vin, we're going to let you go, man. We're going to get another call in, but we appreciate it. I think you're absolutely right, though. Man, I think his confidence is just low. That's it. Like, it's just been low since the summer. Like, there's no other way around it. So hopefully, I don't know, some fans kind of reinvigorate him, but it's really just up to him. Like, his skill set's got to improve. That's just what it is. So, all right, Vin, thanks for the call. We're going to go to our next caller.
Dejanay from Toronto, who also wants to talk about Pascal and clutch situations. It's a theme. Dejanay, welcome to the show. Dejanay, you there? You heard them say hello, right, Will?
Oh, they were super excited too. I came in with like tons of energy. I don't know what's going on.
That's like Pascal in the first half and then dies out in the second half. Hard to be clutch.
That was tough. Yeah, that is a little like, man, that Pascal stat is concerning, though. I'm going to look that up because Vin came in with some good numbers. I thought for sure he was going to flame my head again, which I think tying my hair back has made my head look even bigger, to be honest.
Because now it's definitely 100% your head. It's not
I know. That's why I kept my hair. That's why you cut your hair long, man. Listen, if you got a big, this is the pro tip to anyone who has a big head. Like, if you got a big head, just leave your hair long, and that way, you know, it'll make your head look more balanced. That's why I do it. So Pascal Siakam in the second half. Okay, let's see the numbers here. Oh, come on, he's shooting 45%, 45.6% in the second halves. His 3-point percentage is down to 21%, which is low. But
what's his normal stats? What's it been since the All-Star break?
Since the All-Star break. So since he had COVID?
All-Star break / COVID, yeah.
The post-COVID? That's, it feels like that's a fair distinction.
Well, that, I think that's what Vin was referring to, is like, what's it been like recently?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about what it's been like recently, like, I mean, I do think the COVID thing is a huge, you know, huge...
No, I'm not saying it, I'm not saying it's all Pascal's fault. I've just been curious what it... Like, you were talking on the reaction show a couple weeks ago that all of the COVID guys in the second half just, like, the Raptors have run out of gas. Like, they'll have these great first quarters, pretty good second quarters. The third quarter, things get tight, and then the race to the finish. Like, the Raptors have felt like they're playing the second night of a back-to-back every night they've played since the All-Star break.
I mean, they've also, played a certain number of back-to-backs.
They have played a lot of back-to-backs since the All-Star break, but even, like... On the first nights of back-to-backs, they look like they are winded come the end of the second half.
All right, so since the start of March, which has been 14 games, Pascal is averaging 9 points per game in the second half, shooting 42%. Again, like the efficiency number, you would prefer them to be higher. He's still getting to the free throw line 3.5 times, which is pretty solid. I guess he did 6 in a game. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. You know?
We're going to welcome Dejanay back to the show. Dejanay, I hope you still have that same great energy. How are you doing? Dejanay, you there?
Oh, this is tough. This is a heartbreaker. We're going to get them in.
Dejanay is under the health and safety protocols. Expecting them back.
Allegedly. It's contact tracing. Man. By the way, is Paul Watson okay? Like, he's been out for a while, man. He was really, like, starting to come and do some things. And, like, Nick Nurse was like, absolutely, I'm going to go with Paul Watson. All these other guys are nothing to me. I need Paul Watson. And then he gets sick. And now, yeah, we haven't heard from him in a while, man. I hope he's doing
good. Now we're seeing Stanley again.
Yeah, we might have to get back to Stanley's suggestions, to be honest. We were discussing this, actually.
I think so too.
I don't think Malachi's missions is
no. He's been great. Malachi's been valid. Phenomenal.
He's also been... playing like it's been like you know 35 minutes a game of late. So
I feel like I think Blake or Eric wrote an article that's like his rookie season's finally taken flight. I'm like, dog, it's the middle of April, but yeah, it seems like I mean he was down in the G League. It's fine.
That's what the word finally means, man.
It's just good. Like I'm now excited about him. Now that he's getting like consistent minutes and able, you know, can Malachi Flynn make a late push at all rookie first team? Given that all of the rookies are hurt and bad,
there is no way, bro. There is no way.
Do you think Lonzo is going to get a first all rookie first nod?
LaMelo.
Because Wiseman's done.
Wiseman Lonzo wasn't going to make it regardless, man. Like, Wiseman is just... Yeah, I mean, he has not been good, period. Malachi is up to 4.5 points on 35% shooting for the season, average-wise.
How many all-rookie teams do they publish? Two?
Two. Might be a little tough to get that second team this year. I don't know. Second team all-rookie is always a little bit tough, though. It's hard for a rookie class to have 10 guys.
Second team all-rookie is fake. It's all of the rookies in big markets.
Yo, Terrence Davis made it last year, man. Come on.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're going to try one more time.
Dejanay, are you there?
Hello?
We did it.
Oh, yes.
We did it, Joe.
I'm doing a Nick Nurse hands. Cool. This is perfect.
Hi. This is good. Wow, this is really cool. Love this show. Watch everything you put out.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this is really cool.
Do you subscribe to the newsletter?
I wanted to. there's a newsletter? I'm subscribed to everything on YouTube. I didn't even know there was a newsletter. Wow.
William, I will get on that. Newsletter, sign up. Everyone listening, sign up.
There you go.
I will be doing that for sure. I just was watching the chat, and I saw there was so much negativity towards Pascal. And it's, like, not regular negativity sometimes. And I'm just really glad he's not on social media for this, because every day it's trade Pascal or fire Nick Nurse. And I'm like, why on earth would we – why would we do that? There are way worse ways in the NBA to spend $100 million on a contract. I can promise you that. There are guys making way more than Pascal that don't have half his skill set. So – We can chill on the hate for Pascal. But continuing that, I think there's a lot of discussion trying to tilt towards potentially having Gary Trent Jr. be that clutch guy. And maybe he's more built for that. He went to Duke. He went to Prolific Prep. That's where, like, Jalen Green and a bunch of other top prospects went to school. So it's like maybe he has that potential. I want to see your guys' opinion on that.
Well, I mean, he has the game winner on his resume already. And honestly, yesterday, if Pascal had kicked it to Gary in the corner, I was convinced that man was knocking that down. I mean, I think what we saw from Portland is hard to sort of judge, because he was obviously, like, playing largely in an off-ball role. Obviously, Dame and CJ had, like, a combined usage of 216%. But I would say that with Gary, what we've seen in Toronto is that he's had this ability to create some offense for himself. Now, I think yesterday was very interesting to me. The Knicks started trapping him and double-teaming him at the three-point line, which, I mean, listen, if the Raptors are going to be hurt and they have guys out, no OG, no Fred, like, there's less shooters on the floor, like, I totally understand trapping him. That's a good coaching move. But I saw I saw Gary still react to those situations and still get shots off. Now, the thing is, I don't think he doesn't have that sort of next level athleticism to always get separation, but we've also seen the skill set where he's been able to make contested shots. Like, he continuously drives into guys, is contested, and then shoots over them, kind of like in a DeMar fashion, and he's making those shots right now. So I wouldn't mind. I do think that, like, I agree with what Josh said earlier, which is, like, I don't know if the Raptors have one, you know, like, clear-cut closer. It's not like give the ball to Kawhi and let him run to the right corner. But at the same time, like, if that's the case, then run your offense, try to run a set, you know, and see who's open in that situation. And whoever's open, take that shot. Because I don't think there's one guy who's, like, specifically you go to. And if that's the case, if that's the kind of offense you want to run, then you want to put the ball in the hands of your point guard, whether that's Fred or whether that's Kyle, because you need someone who can make a quick decision and make the right pass. And I trust those two guys the most. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind giving Gary a shot at a few more shots at it. Like, I think, you know, he's already got the game winner. He's already making tough jumpers. And, you know, out of everyone who has that skill set, he seems to be able to get to the mid-range shot probably better than anyone else on the team, maybe outside of Kyle. So
that's very true. I was very shocked to see, like, I knew Gary Trent could shoot the three, but he was coming out the bag, getting some crazy layups and mid-range jumpers. You were like, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
No, this is great, man. And, yeah, he's still the youngest guy on the team, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, to think he's only 22.
Yeah.
But that was what I wanted to get your opinion on, so thank you. We'll be subscribing to that newsletter, and everybody else should too.
All right. Thanks, DeJounette.
Thank you.
Take care. Appreciate Good it. Talking to you. Thanks for calling. Awesome. We will go back to back. We have Dave from Toronto. Dave, are you ready to join the call?
Yes, I am. I'm here. How you guys doing? How you doing, Will? How you doing, Josh?
We're doing all right. Right. Yeah, the show's not been as outright negative as I thought it would be. So I'm happy for us as a fan base right now. I'm feeling a little bit of pride.
Yeah, I had a question for Will. So dude, like, I love your coverage. I think you're an awesome journalist, and I feel like a lot of other fans are kind of jonesing to get your live reactions. So just like how this show is live, I feel like your reactions after the game should be live, because, like, dude, I'm like waiting around half an hour after the game. It's like, where is this guy? I need to go to sleep, you know? So, if you got a reaction to that, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good consideration. It's something I've considered too. Let me just take people into the workflow of like what happens. So the game ends, then I am writing 10 things, which is like usually 1,000 words, maybe 1,200 words. So that takes at least 35 minutes, probably 40 minutes to write. During when I'm writing that thing, I'm also on the Raptors like post game Zoom calls, which of late I've been asking a lot of questions in those calls with Nick Nurse and the players and stuff like that. So that takes quite a bit of time too, because the players need to end the game, shower, appear. They're just like dragging their feet sometimes. It takes a while, honestly. And then after that, I record. Now, the thing is, I could go live with the recording at that specific time instead of just recording it sort of static on my computer and then uploading to YouTube, because that would, you know, cut off some time. But yeah, it's a good consideration. It really is. Because I know people are definitely waiting on the pod, but that's the workflow. So really, after every game, I have like it's like a super intensive about an hour and a half. Plus, I'm writing the newsletter now, so it's really hard to keep the pieces and do it more efficiently in this current manner. But I mean, it's a good consideration for sure, and I would be very interested to do it, because I know a lot of other places are doing it now. Like, shout out my guy Sahal. He's doing it at Raptors Republic. That's a good live show to watch after the game. I think some other YouTubers do it as well. But this is the best solution I have at the moment. Yeah, but I'm always flexible to like change my content stuff.
I'm actually realizing now that you do have to sit through those pressers. You do have to ask those questions. And I enjoy when the players, like, they hear Will come on and then their just whole tone, their whole vibe changes. It's like we can get real for a moment.
I don't know about that. People have been gassing him about this. I don't know. I'm just asking him a basketball question most of the time.
Nick gives you the love, dude. Nick gives you the love.
Yeah, that's true.
And Lowry, dude. Lowry respects you a lot too, man. And you know what? You know, just keep doing what you do.
I appreciate it.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Dave.
And I appreciate the diehard fandom. Anyways, take care, guys.
Always. All right, thank you, Dave. What a nice call.
I do think one day we should try to do live calls after a playoff game when the Raptors knock on wood and make it back.
Listen, after the 10-9 play-in game?
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. You don't think that'd be good? I remember Yahoo did the like reaction shows out of the studio in 2018-19 for the first couple rounds before you guys were traveling nonstop.
Bro.
Those were kind of cool.
By the way, a funny story about that. So yeah, as you mentioned, like it was in the Yahoo studio, which is King and Spadina. And so game one, Raptors Magic. You guys obviously remember what happened in game one, DJ Augustine with the shot boy. So I had to go from the arena immediately.
I know this story.
To the Yahoo studio. So me and Alex are like walking. And listen, man, it's, I don't know, 15 minutes with a light power walk from the arena. Yeah. Plus, there's like tons of fans, so it takes a really long time to get out of the arena and stuff just because it's so congested. And the whole way through, it was not me and Alex. It was me and Big V, Vivek. And I think the whole walk back, I was just repeating 0 points. This man scored 0 points.
I DM'd you saying how you feeling, and you messaged me back 0 points.
Here's the thing. This is the thing. Like everyone gets it, right? And listen, when you miss a game-winning shot, people are gonna get on you. Like literally everybody. Like everybody will get on you. I'm sure. Like Clipper fans have been getting on Kawhi for being unclutch this year, and like to the extent there are like 6 Clipper fans. You know, I'm sure like Vince Staples is in the chat.
That one group chat has been furious.
Yeah, it's actually just a group chat. It's actually just a thread of 6 guys.
Steve Ballmer, Vince Staples.
Clipper Darryl.
Jerry West, Clipper Darryl.
And, what's the other guy, the actor that's always at those games? The actor from the 80s. He was in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, that guy's the
Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal, yeah. He's a Clipper fan too.
It's their group chat.
That's the group chat. That's the whole Clipper nation. So, listen, we've had we honestly had a pretty good run of calls. So for the last few minutes here, I think first off, let's go to our signature segment. We always like push it to the very, very end. Now we actually have space and latitude to do it. So as we mentioned earlier, no more Malachi's missions. All right, Malachi's mission right now is to go out and show us your first round pick, and he's doing that right now. He's done a pretty good job. You know, let's actually get your thoughts on Malachi so far, because obviously the last few games we've been, I wouldn't say we were ripping on the guy, but we were just properly assessing the fact that he wasn't making an impact. Malachi, for the last six games, is averaging 32 minutes per game. He's shooting. He's averaging 13 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Wow. On 43% shooting from the field and 42% from the three. He's not getting to the free throw line that much, but he's also giving you 5 rebounds. So it's 13, 5, and 6 with 2 steals on pretty decent efficiency in the last six games where he's averaged 32 minutes. Josh, Malachi, what are your thoughts?
I really like the defense. Like, it seemed as though when in his first couple of stretches with the team, there was a real lack of intensity. Nick Nurse pretty much said he's not up to snuff. And he's turned around, and I'm really proud of him. Like, I'm glad that he has, at least in these early runs, demonstrated that he can take direction. He can go back and work on things, and I've really appreciated seeing him turn it around on the defensive end. I think his hands are already clearly, like, NBA ready. The steals are great if he's able to keep that up long term. I think I can't, like, imagine the two guard lineups of Fred VanVleet and Malachi Flynn out there. Like, that'll be just great seeing like two elite guard defenders at a time. It'll give the team some of the same impact that you saw like Danny Green provide, with just being a good on ball defender for both guard positions. Like, that was one of the great things about the Warrior series, that they could keep up with great two guard back lineups or backcourts. Mm-hmm. So that's really been exciting. The offense has been like, it's been fine. It's been good. But yeah, to me, the thing that I'm most impressed by is like the him stepping up to the challenge of being playing like Raptors defense.
I agree.
Because that's what kept him out of the lineup the last time around. What have you, like, what's been your big takeaway in the, like, recent two-week run from Malachi?
Well, I mean, I've actually done, like, two really deep dive videos on Malachi, because I've been just trying to look at his shot attempts. So I did a deep dive video on his game against the Wizards, where he had 16 and 6, I believe. And then I did another deep dive on the Cavs game, where he had 20 and 11. I specifically looked at his pick-and-roll play. So a couple things stood out. Number one, this guy goes, the Raptors are getting him to his left all the time. He loves driving to his left. Good things happen when screen comes and he's going towards his left, going downhill. I think the last few games, he's done a lot better job of getting downhill on the pick and roll and trying to create. And I think we're starting to see some of that vision come out. Like in that Cavs game, back-to-back plays where he came off the pick and roll, waited in the middle of the floor, drew the help to him, and then kicked it to OG in the corner. Those two are really nice plays. And I think that he's shown a bit of tough shot making as well, because I think that realistically he's going to need to have that. Never going to be a super efficient guy with that, right? Because at his size, it's just impossible to really be that efficient. But similar to the way you see Kyle, similar to the way you see Fred, like those guys are able to make a really, really tough shot under duress, even as a small guard. And we saw Malachi make some of those shots, even last night. So I really want to see him progress on that front. I don't think he knows how to play off ball right now. So every time he's on the floor with Kyle or with Fred, he's just deferring. And so he's not doing much without the ball. But I think he needs to improve on that front. I think he can move better. I think he can honestly shoot even better than he is. I don't think anything's wrong with his mechanics, but I think he needs to get to the point where he's an elite off ball shooter the way Kyle and Fred are. Those guys, you know, they need to be able to play off of each other to succeed long term. But I like what I'm seeing, and I agree with you, man. The defense is consistently impressive. Like yesterday it's just Emmanuel Quickly, another rookie, but the Quickly shot 1 of 8. And there were a lot of possessions where you know, Flynn beat him up, or, you know, even Derrick Rose was switching on to Flynn, and then D Rose is getting cut off. I like Flynn's quickness, especially his lateral quickness. I don't feel like anyone really gets by him trying to drive on him. He really contains them well, and it's really just he could probably get a little stronger as well. But in terms of the rookie, in terms of like that, like, I think he's got pretty good tools, and I think he just needs more reps, whether that's summer league. I don't know if next year he'll play in the G League. I mean, I don't think so. But yeah, just more reps.
Kyle's not going to be on this team. He's going to be.
Yeah, you're right. So. So no more Malachi Mission is what we're trying to say.
No more Malachi Mission.
So what do you want to run with here? So I'm going to give you a couple of options, and you let me know, okay? So we can always go back to Stanley's suggestions.
Yep.
Okay. We have Rodney's recommendations, because...
Rodney's playing.
Yeah. Well, we have Utah's Yelps as well, and I've always wanted to get to Utah's Yelp. Yeah.
I also... This week, I prepared a Watson's watch list.
Ooh. Okay, let's go with that then. Let's go with that. Because, listen, he's really in COVID protocol right now. So, he's probably watching nothing but Netflix. So, let's go with that. Watson's watch list for this week in particular. Josh, what do you got prepared?
So, this weekend, I watched Belly in honor of the late, great DMX. Belly, the movie that he started in, like, 2000. It has so many familiar faces to hip-hop fans and rap fans specifically. Method Man's in it, DMX obviously, but also Louis Rankin plays Ox. Louis Rankin, Raptors fans will know from the Raptor Foot song from the 2019 finals. So I watched Belly this weekend. It's a great sort of like, you know, crime guide, like action flick in the style of like Scarface. It's, if you like watching crime movies where guys are drug kingpins and they're killing each other, it's a good time, and you get to see DMX, who was like an amazingly good actor. Method Man as well, like they're just really good at acting, because these guys are just very talented people. And you know, rest in peace DMX. It was tough to see that news. I guess his heart attack happened a week previous, but his passing was last Friday. So I will check out Belly and encourage all of you to as well. It's like a fun movie, and you'll see many familiar faces, including Louis Rankin, Top Rankin. How about you, Will? What's on your watch list for Paul Watson this week?
All right, so I'm going to go with a super nerdy one again. Listen, Paul, if you are like stuck somewhere and need to burn time, which I feel a lot of people need to do that during the pandemic, if you're in a fortunate spot. Yeah, if you need to burn some time, go pick up Civilization 6 from whatever platform you want to play on. You know, I play it on Switch, but you can play on PC or whatever. Apparently, it's better on PC. But in any case, go pick up Civilization 6. This game will honestly have you... I mean, if you like sort of turn-based strategy, which is not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, but yeah, you can easily sink like 12 straight hours into this game. You can also go on YouTube and watch some videos. There's this like Potato McWhiskey guy who has a really good playthrough, where if you're one of those people who plays video games but also likes to watch other people play video games, which I know sounds weird, but turns out it's actually pretty entertaining. You can see lots of Civ content online. But yeah, I mean, listen, if you really want to burn 8 hours, go get that game. It's only like $20 on the Switch right now, although you got to buy the expansion pack afterwards for like $60. But that's how the modern video game economy works. But that's my recommendation. So I want to thank everyone for calling in. I really appreciate everyone who called in. We couldn't get to everybody, including Steve at the end there. That was unfortunate. Steve, we're sorry we couldn't get you in. But we appreciate everyone for calling in. Josh, you know, any last thoughts before we hang up?
I mean, if you can do something besides watch this Magic game. I just, so, like, the Raptors play the Magic so often.
Wait, we're playing them again?
On Friday night.
Oh, my goodness. Yo, I'm not even kidding, Josh. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but name me 4 Magic players right now who are on the roster and playing.
They traded everybody. I cannot do it. They have who's the guy they got from Denver? RJ Hampton? RJ?
Yes.
Harris? What's his
name? No, RJ Hampton and Gary Harris. So that's 2 right there. See, there you go.
Okay.
They got Chuma Okeke.
Okay.
Yeah. You know about Chuma
Harris
Okeke?
Harris Ross. Harris
of course,
there,
of course.
Obviously.
No, T. Ross is joking about he's the number one option, man. That's so funny. And it's true though.
Who's their coach? That's the question. I have no
Steve
idea.
Steve Clifford, man. Come on.
Oh, from the Hornets.
Yeah, he's.
That sucks.
Well, right. It is what it is. So, anyway, thanks everyone for calling in. We really appreciate it. Again, we'll look forward to the next call-in show. If you want to leave a message for the show, you can always call into the number and leave a voicemail, and we can get to it on the show. That's one way you can sort of make sure you get in. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Josh, appreciate you as well. And we'll catch you next time.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.